Thrown into the Word of God, giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God. To my sisters and my brother who are here with us this morning, I thank God for Reverend Stevenson. She actually was preaching today over at First Baptist Severn. She called me last week and said that Pastor Barnes had a little surgery, and he asked her to preach for him. And I said, that's such a high honor. That's such a high honor for such a season and such a respected man of God to see Christ in you and know that he could trust you to come and deliver a word, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, what's going to happen in his absence. So I told her that was such a high honor that he asked her to preach for him on this Sunday. So I know she's letting the Lord use her mightily as well. To all those who are visiting, the officials of this church, our auxiliaries, and those who are visiting, we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ushers, you all may be seated if you're not already. So you already sat down? Okay. Yeah, don't wait for me. Just go on and sit down. You've been standing a long time. Y'all go ahead and sit down. We're going to go straight to the book of Acts in the New Testament. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8. Again, let us thank the Lord for this male chorus on this morning. Ushers, everybody, musicians, everybody, we thank the Lord for everybody. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. I'm going to read this church family from the, I'm going to read it from the New International Version. If you're reading from the King James, it'll be a little bit different. Let me set this up. Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem. This is after he has risen from the dead, and he's made his appearance to many, many people. And, of course, he spent quite a bit of time with the disciples, and so, his 12 apostles, or his 11, because they hadn't picked the 12th one at that point. But they're in Jerusalem, and this is the question that they posed to him, beginning at verse number 6. So when they, the apostles, met together, they asked him, Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We want to just focus on verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And just for a few minutes, church family, let us reason together with this thought of our power comes from the Holy Spirit. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit. If you were here first Sunday, and thank God you're back again on this third Sunday, I preached about being lit up for Jesus. And I said that I pray that all of us will want to be lit up for Jesus in 2019. That phrase may sound slangy, and I apologize if it's maybe a little rough and raw for some people, but Jesus told all Christians to let our light shine. He said, let the holy positive influence of Jesus in our lives, let our light so shine before men, that's people generally, that they will see our good works. Our good works are our holy positive attitudes and our holy and positive behavior. They'll see our good works, and then they will glorify God the Father. So on first Sunday, like I said, I preached lit up for Jesus. I want to be lit up for Jesus in 2019. So you know that if anything is lit up, it has to have a power source, right? Look right here in the church right now. You see these lights on. They're not just on because somebody went and flipped some switches. There's some power. There's a power source that makes these lights come on when you flip the switch. Electricity It's the power source of a lot of things that shine, both indoors and outdoors, signs and even smart devices. You said, no, not my smart device, not my cell phone, not my tablet, not my computer, because they got batteries in them. Yeah, but the batteries still have electricity in them. And when you don't, and even the batteries have to be recharged, that's why you got to go to that wall and plug it in somewhere every once in a while. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? It's going to go out and start working, right? So there's a power source to anything that has energy. And then if it's not electricity, it's solar energy. Look right there across that field. Go anywhere in Northampton, Halifax County, from one end to another. Solar farms everywhere. And the sun is going to, those panels out there are going to capture the sun's energy, and then it's going to be created into what? Electricity or other types of energy for people to use. So there has to be a source of power for anything that has any kind of energy. When we are lit up for Jesus, we have a power source too. It's God the Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Holy Spirit is the power source for you and me in our daily lives. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, the Creator, God the Son, the Lord and Savior, God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Amen. And the giver of good and perfect gifts, God the Holy Spirit. He's found both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in fact, in Luke 11, 9 through 13, Jesus told the apostles that the Holy Spirit was coming. As a matter of fact, he said, when I leave you, I've already asked the Father to send you a comforter. It's God, the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts 1, we find Jesus spending time with the apostles just before he's ready to go back to heaven. And the apostles ask him, as I read to you about, when is he going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They're hung up on, you know, we've been under the rule of the Romans and we've had all these other kingdoms come over. These heathen folks come here and they've taken over and we want the kingdom to be restored in Israel. When is that going to happen, Jesus? And Jesus tells them, don't worry about that. Don't you get hung up on that. That's not for you to know. I don't think Jesus said it in a sassy, ugly, you know, trying to be short way. Jesus just basically said, listen, that's not what you need to be concerned about. Don't worry about that. The Father will do whatever he wants to do whenever he chooses to do it. He says you need to be concerned about receiving power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all the world. And that's the same thing that applies to you and me today. It's not enough, Evelyn, just to get saved. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. It's not enough just to get saved. God expects you to do something after you get saved. Getting saved is the first step now. That's the first step, William. But after you get saved, he didn't just save you for you. He saved you to be a blessing to somebody else. Well, what about my life and my day-to-day needs and how I feel and my emotional well-being and my all that? How am I going to stay walking in this life? How am I going to remain that light? You remain that light because you've got a power source. Your power source is God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We know the rest of the story. The Holy Spirit fell upon the 12 apostles and over more than 100 other folks in the upper room. They began to speak in unknown tongues, the Bible says. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles and the followers of Jesus, they gained a boldness to preach Jesus to all the nations of the world. Fast forward to 2019. If you are saved, if you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, he left us with a charge. He said to share his good news about his agape love to every nation in our present age. That's the Great Commission. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That's our charge. How are you going to do that? You got to do it with a desire, first of all, to do what God told you to do. But you got to have some energy. You got to have some boldness. You got to have some courage. You got to have some strength. And it doesn't come from just within me. See, because my courage and my boldness and my strength runs out. But God, the Holy Spirit, being part of the Holy Trinity, He has all power. His strength never runs out. You don't think you need some boldness? Look how bold other folks are about what they believe. Other folk will tell you exactly what they think. And I don't mean other religions. I'm just talking about folk in the way they choose to live. Folk who live lifestyles, whatever they are, if they're not in keeping with God, whereas folks are bold in telling us how they live and proud of it. Now, we don't have to be arrogant and we don't have to be holier than thou, but we shouldn't be afraid to say, well, you know, brother, if that's the way you roll that way. But I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Yeah, and so I live for the Lord Jesus. So we ought to be able to be just as bold and have just as much courage to stand firm in our faith as people ought to tell us how they choose to live. Most of us not going into foreign countries. We're not going to go anywhere and evangelize, but we can and we must preach and teach and live Jesus wherever we are. We must preach and teach and live Jesus wherever we are. Well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. You ain't got to be. Well, Pastor, I don't teach Sunday school. I don't teach Bible study. I don't lead a small group. You don't have to. All you have to do is live Jesus. When you live Jesus, that's the best teaching and preaching that anybody that's unsaved will ever see. You live Jesus. As that saying goes, and the longer I live, DeVito, I have found it out. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Now, I'm telling y'all for real. In some aspects of life, talk is cheap. Folk not caring about what you're saying as much as how they see you living. So I can stand here and proclaim that I'm whatever I am all day long, and it won't make any difference. Because when people don't see my walk come into connection and line up with my talk, they're going to say you're a fraud. You're fake. You're phony. You have no more credit with me. You've been discredited. Now, all of us fall short, but what I'm saying is you can't be running around talking about how you are a child of the living God and all that, and I got my nose stuck up. I look down on some folk. Some folk I can associate with, some folks I can't. I'm quick to rush to judgment until I know all the information, but I'm making snap judgments. I don't want to forgive anybody. I'm always easily offended. Now, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to do anything but live Jesus. And that is how you fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. The only way we can stay lit up for Jesus is by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And our power comes from the Holy Spirit. Let me briefly talk about some ways the Holy Spirit gives us power to stay a light in a world that's full of darkness. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us power through his anointing. Smith's Bible Dictionary says there is a physical anointing and then there's a spiritual anointing. The physical anointing is when if I got some oil and I take that oil and, you know, and I put it on your face or I pour it over you and all that, then I ain't got no opinion about that. That's one kind of anointing. Matter of fact, that's what the prophets did back in the day. They anointed people. But there's also a spiritual anointing. The spiritual anointing is when there's the influence of the Holy Spirit and it's seen in all areas of your life. Now, how do I know if I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Look right there. Look right there. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. When I have the anointing, when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life, you're going to live and display what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. And you see them right behind us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is an example of the anointing. That's an example of the Holy Spirit having his influence in every area of your life. So one of the ways that we stay lit up for Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power to live holy, but not to become arrogant and conceited. The anointing is the power to live holy, but not to be arrogant and conceited. There's nothing worse than a conceited, arrogant Christian. You can't relate to anybody because you don't do nothing. You ain't never done nothing. You ain't never thought to do nothing. You've been good all the time. You came out the womb yelling hallelujah. And there's nothing worse than an arrogant, conceited Christian. And how are you going to witness to folk who don't know what you know? They don't know Jesus the way you know Jesus. Wait a minute. Unless my Bible's different than yours, Monte, I do believe there's many passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John where the Pharisees got mad with Jesus. Why? They said, because he's with them sinners. He's somewhere eating with some sinners. He's somewhere fellowshipping with some sinners. Well, guess what? If Jesus did it, that means we got to be able to do it too. He didn't lose his holiness. He just stayed who he was, and he let his light so shine in front of them that they saw his good works, and then they glorified his Father, and they got saved. Same thing applies to you and I. So the anointing of Jesus Christ, it helps us to live holy, but we don't become arrogant and conceited. Here's another example of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have the power to stop living in sin. Amen. We all sin. We all come short of God's glory, but we can't use that as an excuse to keep living in sin. Not to say that we're not going to possibly stumble and fall sometime, but you just can't keep living in willful sin, knowing you living in sin, and your attitude is, well, you know, God's grace will cover me. God's grace, it's not that God's grace will ever run out, but God can stop his grace when he gets ready. Amen. Let me say that again. It's not that God's grace will ever run out. No. But he can stop his grace whenever he gets ready. I know that's right, because Galatians 5:16 says, live by the Holy Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 from the NIV. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. And that's not just talking about physical death. Your sinful nature, my sinful nature, can kill some things, can put to death some things, some blessing and some favor that God had for me. But because, Brenda, I choose to keep living in sin, God says, nah, you ain't ready for that. No, you're not ready for that. So I had this in mind for you, but until you can get yourself a little bit more together and get your focus back on me, I'm not going to let you have that. Let me finish that. Romans 12, 13, 14. If you live by according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Amen. You will live. You will live. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to help you live. Holy Spirit can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. That's the first thing I want us to know about the power of the Holy Spirit. We get power through his anointing. The second thing is, the Holy Spirit gives us power through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts, G-I-F-T-S, of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is how God uses each one of us to be a blessing to the church. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is how God uses each one of us to be a blessing to the church. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you do have a gift from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God wants us to use our spiritual gifts to help our Christian sisters and brothers grow in faith and live holy. That's why he gives us gifts. He gives us spiritual gifts to edify, to build up, to encourage one another in the body of Christ. Paul explains the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Paul says the Holy Spirit may give one person a gift of a word of wisdom. He'll give somebody else the gift of a word of knowledge. You can find this again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. He may give another person the gift of increased faith. Another person, the Holy Spirit may give the gifts of healing. He may give somebody else the ability to perform miracles. He might give another believer the gift of prophecy, and to another sister or brother the ability to recognize different types of spirits. Amen. Those are some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, God uses each one of us and the gifts he gives us to be a blessing to the body, to each other, to build up and to help one another. Amen. That's why he gives us these gifts. To somebody else, the Holy Spirit gives the gift of speaking in unknown tongues. And to another person, he gives the gift of being able to understand unknown tongues. Amen. Now, does everybody speak in tongues? No. And the Bible doesn't teach that. And I don't say this with any malice or any kind of call myself being better or smarter or more learned than my brothers and sisters in Christ. But if you read the Bible for yourself, you go back and read it. Everybody doesn't have the gift of speaking in tongues. There are some of our brothers and sisters that believe that, you know, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can't say you've received the Holy Spirit unless you speak in tongues. But 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear. Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but speaking in tongues is not the only gift of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not the only way that we know someone has been filled with the Holy Spirit. I just shared with you the different types of gifts that come with the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul wraps up all of this about spiritual gifts by saying all these gifts come from the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit decides who gets which gifts and how many gifts each person has. Amen. So if you have the gift of prophecy and I have the gift of wisdom, to God be the glory. If you have the gift of speaking in tongues and you have the gift of healing, to God be the glory. If you have the gift of healing and you have the gift of performing miracles and you have the gift of interpreting tongues, to God be the glory. All of the gifts are to edify the body of Christ. And the thing we should never do, and don't let anybody get you caught up in this, we don't compare spiritual gifts. Amen. We ain't no such thing as comparing. That's why Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians in the first place, because they had got hung up on, well, somebody's got this gift and somebody's got that gift, and what gift is more important than the other. Paul said all of them come from the Holy Spirit, and all of them are equally important. So don't be hung up on comparing your gift to anybody else. If you're not sure what your gift is, ask the Lord to show you. If you're not sure, because some of you right now might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't think I have a gift. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And maybe your gift is not one that God calls for us to be on display in the same way that somebody else's is. But if you don't think you have a spiritual gift, ask God to show you and reveal to you what your gift is. Here's the third way that the Holy Spirit gives us power. I said, first of all, we get power from his anointing. Then we get power from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's the third and final way. We get power from the Holy Spirit. He gives us superhuman courage and strength. Amen. The Holy Spirit will give us superhuman courage and superhuman strength. Now, that's, again, not everybody will have one or both or the other, but there are examples of the Bible when this has been the case. Sometimes by the power of the Holy Spirit, men and women of God gain great courage and strength, and they win fights. They're able to win battles. They're able to win wars that they would not win without the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know that's right, because there was a woman named Deborah. She became a judge over Israel. In her position, Deborah had legal authority over men. That was completely against the social laws of her day. But God put her there. That's a note to somebody. If God puts you somewhere, can't nobody take you out. God puts you somewhere, that's where you're supposed to be. And even though there may be some folks that want to take you out, Monte, they ain't going to remove you until God says it's time for you to go. If you're doing your best to trust and obey him, you'll stay right there until God says, I want to move you. And when he's ready to move you, he'll tell you where to go. He'll open up a door for you, but you'll know it's God. But anyway, here she was, a woman over men with authority in legal matters. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Deborah had great wisdom and courage. How do I know? Because Deborah went to the general of the army, a man named Barak, and she told him to call together the army and to go and attack the Canaanites. And Deborah gave Barak the strategy to win the battle. And Barak had enough sense to see God's favor on Deborah. He did exactly what she told him to do, and they did win the battle. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, superhuman courage and strength. There's another example of says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David when Samuel anointed him to become the king of Israel. David was probably no more than 12 or 13 years old, but the power of the Holy Spirit gave him courage and strength. And with that courage and strength, he was able to kill a highly trained, fully grown, hateful giant named Goliath. David was just a young boy, preteen maybe, but he was bold because the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. Matter of fact, before David got out there with the Goliath, what did he tell Saul? He said, my king, I'm not afraid to face this giant. He said, I'll go fight him right now. He said, because a lion came to steal a sheep and a bear came to steal the sheep. He said, and your servant, your 12-year-old, 13-year-old servant, all by myself, I went after the lion and I went after the bear and I killed them and I brought the sheep back. He wasn't bragging about himself. He said, because the battle ain't mine, it's the Lord's. The power of the Holy Spirit. There was another man named Othniel, O-T-H-N-I-E-L. He was the first judge of Israel. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel, and he led the army to victory over a wicked king in Mesopotamia. And then there was Samson. We all know Samson. He was a judge in Israel too. Some of y'all don't remember. Samson was a judge too. We think of him because he was a strong man and all that. But Samuel was actually a judge over Israel by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he was also a rogue and a scoundrel. He's my brother, but I'm going to tell the truth. If he was here, he would say, yeah, you're right, Edwin. I was back in the day. That's what I was. He was a judge. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. But Samuel was a rogue and he was a scoundrel. Sometimes Samuel didn't even try to live right. He didn't even try to live right. He just did his thing. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was on Samson. And by God's Spirit, Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. And he was also a wise man. Now, we give credit to a woman named Delilah for helping the Philistines capture Samson. But the Bible is clear. Samson didn't lose his strength because somebody cut his hair. Samson lost his strength because the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left him. That's why Samson lost his strength. It wasn't because he told that woman he had lied to her three times before, and on the fourth time he told her the truth. But he didn't lose his strength because they came in there and cut his hair. You go back and read those passages of scripture. It was very clear. It says he woke up. She said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke up out of his sleep. He was bound and he tried to break the ropes and all, and he couldn't. The Bible says because the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Amen. And that's a lesson for you and me. The Spirit of the Lord will leave you if you persist and rolling in life your way, doing your thing, the Spirit of the Lord will leave you. And I pray that none of us ever have that experience. But we know the rest of the story too. When you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and restore you. How do I know that? Because what happened at the end of Samson's story? He was blind. They had brought him to a big gathering, all the Philistines, and like a big Roman Colosseum type place. And Samson prayed and said, Lord, just let me have your strength one more time. Lord, let your Spirit come upon me one more time. He said, because I'm a kill. And he told the Lord why. He said, because I'm going to kill all these Philistines. He said, and Lord, let me die with them. Y'all know what? If Samson hadn't said, Lord, let me die with him, I guarantee you he wouldn't have died. But he said to the Lord, Lord, and let me die with them. And the Lord honored his prayer. Amen. So even if the Spirit of the Lord leaves us, if we'll confess our sins and humble ourselves, God won't leave us out there by ourselves. I'm going to end this message by reminding us that we should want to be lit up for Jesus in 2019. I want to believe that all of us are determined to do our best to trust and obey Jesus every day. But when you have a bad day, be encouraged. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you with his anointing. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you with the gifts of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you with superhuman courage and strength. Don't you know that man right there, and I'm going to point him out and pick on because Marcel let me get away with this, but you just think about the job he has. You think about the job Deacon Jones has. They work with folks. He works with folks that he knows have done wrong. Now, some of them, of course, have changed their ways, and the Lord allows in due time they're going to serve their sentence and they're going to get out. But there's some folk in there, they don't care no more about him than the people that they did wrong to, and that's why they're in jail in the first place. You think about every time Marcel has to engage with somebody, and he doesn't know what kind of, now listen, let's look at this spiritually. It's not just he doesn't know what kind of person he's going to run up against. He don't know what kind of spirit he's going to run up against. He doesn't know what kind of spirit is going to be in the person that he's engaging with. That's why he's got to stay prayed up, and he's got to be faithful to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to keep on covering him. Amen. And I know he doesn't. All of us need to do the same thing. We all need to do the same thing. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us every day and thank him for being there. He is the source of our power. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. But I can't thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit without thanking the Lord for Jesus. Amen. Because you know, without Jesus, we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's not my opinion. That's what the word says. I'll bring you back to where I started this. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13 is when Jesus told the disciples. He says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you comforters, because I've already prayed and asked the Father to send someone to comfort you. And the comforter is coming when I go back. He's God, the Holy Spirit. Don't you know how much Jesus loves us? He loved us so much that even though he knew that he wouldn't be here in 2019, he loved us so much, though, that he was thinking about Yvonne and Morris, even though he wasn't going to be here. He was thinking about Barbara, even though he knew he wasn't going to be here. He was thinking about Miss Jean, even though he knew he wasn't going to be there. He was thinking about my grandbaby back there, even though he knew that he wasn't going to be here. He loved us so much that he said, Lord, I'm not going to leave them comfortless. I'm not going to just let them be out there on their own, Lord. Yeah, my presence is going out of the world, but you're going to still be here with them through the Holy Spirit. So he had to die. He had to die for the Holy Spirit to come, because before the Holy Spirit came forth, Jesus had to go away. So that's why he went up on that cross. That's exactly why he did what he did. That's why he let them nail him. You know, I always say they nailed him in his hands, and you know, that's something we've said for years. But really, if you do your study, and Miss Lola pointed this out to me some time ago, she gave me the information, he really got nailed in his wrist. They really nailed Jesus through. They put his hands like that, and they put that big old stake like out there on the railroad track through his wrist. That's how he was hanging on that cross. And they nailed him in his feet. Amen. And he was thinking about every one of us when he was taking that pain. You know how you and I act when we get a little paper cut. You know how you and I act if a pen sticks us. Think about what he went through. He knew he was going to go through it before it even happened. But because he loved every one of us and he wanted the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, he let them do that. He let them pierce him in his side. They took a spear. They took a spear and they pierced our Lord in his side up under his ribs. If somebody just hits you hard up under your ribs, you're liable to go down. But somebody take a knife or a spear and thrust it up. We used to say, juke it up under your ribs. They did that to Jesus. And Jesus let them. How do I know he let them? Because he had the power to not go through any of it. But he was thinking about every one of us when he did. And then he let them put him in a borrowed tomb. Do you know what an insult that was? They put him in a borrowed tomb. Here was Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth. Here was Jesus, who had all the riches in the world at his command. Here was Jesus, who had even made the people that were killing him. He could have been put in a palace, in a mausoleum, like we got back here in Roanoke, Salem. But he let them put him in a borrowed tomb because he was thinking about me and he was thinking about Tim. And then he stayed in that borrowed tomb all the rest of Friday, all day Saturday, all Saturday night,
But the Bible says that because he was Jesus, because he's King of Kings, because he's Lord of Lords, because he's Alpha and Omega, on Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hands. He got up and he showed the world that God is true and man is a liar. They said he wouldn't get up, but he got up. Not only did he get up, he walked around and let them see him, because they couldn't kill him again. Our Jesus did that for you, did that for me. He knew he wasn't going to be here in 2019, but he said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit. So when Edwin gets in trouble, the Holy Spirit is going to be there for him. When Calvin gets in trouble, the Holy Spirit is going to be there for him. Amen. 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 When Doris gets in trouble, the Holy Spirit, when Brenda gets in trouble, and I don't mean trouble like in sin. I mean, just when you get worried, just when you get anxious, just when you get overwhelmed, just when your plate gets full, and just when your load gets heavy and you're not sure you can go any further, the Holy Spirit will lift you up. He'll give you that extra power. He'll do for you what no other man or woman could do for you, because it's supernatural power. Man can't understand it because man didn't create it. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank God for the Holy Spirit on this morning.